you have an anger problem. And I know if you're being honest with God, we all have an anger problem. You got pride. All of us got pride. And so you missed out on a Wednesday night, and some of y'all were sick, and that's very understandable. If you stayed home to watch the Babylon Idiot Box, and it's sad. Amen? Well, I tell you, this morning we're going to be bringing a message to you entitled Crossing God's Deadline. Crossing God's Deadline. So along those words, let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to try to get y'all out. Stand, please, in respect of the reading of the Word of God. I pray everybody went to the potty. We're all ready to get preached. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll try to hurry on up, get through this this morning before y'all get on home by 1 o'clock. Amen. Amen. Crossing God's deadline. My, my, my. I love preaching out of Matthew chapter 7. I don't know how many sermons I preached out of this chapter, and I tell you, just something just comes back at me. And man, it's just awesome. Now, Matthew chapter 7, I want you to look at. Let's start with verse 13. Enter ye in the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life. Now here it comes, church. I'll underline this little three-letter word here. And few, my, there should that find it. God says in Luke, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he was just a preaching. And he said, when he comes back to the earth, will he find faith on the earth? That's very interesting, isn't it? Drop down, please, to verse 21. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Are you a doer of the word? Amen. Amen. Many will say to me in that day, this is a well familiar verse, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many, 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 many wonderful works. And then when I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. My, my, my. Let's pray. Heavenly gracious Father, stir our hearts this morning with your Spirit. Fill us, dear God. Please. Have your way, please, Father. Direct our hearts this morning, and may we came here this morning with a good spirit, seeking your will, Father, not our own. We need your will in our life, Father. And I pray, Father, that be one here today, dear God, that's got a wall built up that just won't let you come in and touch their inner soul. I pray that they take heed to your message, Father. Please, listen to their hearts, Father. In God's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated, please. Here in the literary sense, they're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a picture of judgment. Picture of a future judgment. And these folks thought they were saved. They were church members. They were good Bible readers. But they had been deceived. And now they stand before the judge of the universe and realize that they're not saved. And what a tragic, tragic ending of one soul thinking he or she has gone and thinking about going through this life thinking that you're saved, and they end up standing before God and you're not saved. Again, here's what folks will be saying at this judgment seat. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, they cannot believe it. Master, Master, they're shocked. Lord, we did all this. We tithed. We came to service. I went to the prayer meetings. I taught. I sung. And then God's going to say, I'm going to profess unto you, I never knew you. And the saddest words, you're going to hear me say this again throughout this message, I believe that touches anybody's heart. The saddest words I believe in the Word of God is, depart from me, I never knew you. Many were saying to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we did all this for you. Now here's a group of church members evidently was doing a lot of good things. Now catch this. We have people that won't even pick up a mop, or much less a broom, or pick up their cigarette butts outside their cars. Amen. Much less to help clean up after a church potluck. But this group has good works. They're going by their good works, and yet Jesus says, I never knew you. Now, folks, human goodness and human effort is good attributes to have. But without Jesus Christ, it's all in vain. You see, life's greatest tragedy is revealed in these words, I never knew you. And how dangerous to defy God and to gamble with eternity. I never knew you. There's a lot of things a man and woman doesn't have to do if they don't want to do. But there's, listen, one thing that you're going to have to do, if you like it or not, you and I are going to die. And I'll be real careful what you do with the message this morning. It could be the last one you ever hear in your life, because all of us is one heartbeat away from heaven or hell. You and I have an appointment with death, which we cannot escape. If the rapture happens, listen, if the rapture doesn't happen, y'all heard my tune on this, we're all headed for the graveyard. And the Word of God does say it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Depart from me. And I can hear God saying that. Depart from me, I never knew you, and it will be devastating. Someone once asked the question, what is the worst thing going to hell? And I used this 4 or 5 times in 5 years, this little statement. The answer given by the great preacher in the South years ago, to go to hell and recognize the voice of your son and ask, son, what are you doing here? And he answers, Dad, I followed you. Yeah. Now these people here in Matthew chapter 7, we're lost as part of the religion. I believe some of y'all need to drop your religion and find Jesus. Amen. They certainly were not without religious ritual and form and ceremony. They had all those trimmings. However, like thousands today, they substituted religion for regeneration, ritual for righteousness, and human tradition for divine commandment. Now, Paul describes them in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about establishing their own righteousness. And that's where we're at today in many of our lives, and many of the denominations are teaching that. Establishing their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. My righteousness in God's eyes is as filthy rags. No wonder Jesus said, you should die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. Now, there are 4 ways that God uses to convict a man to get saved. First of all, when God calls a man to get saved, it's through His Word. You have it in your hands this morning. It's a compass to your life. It is the power of God unto salvation. Also, God calls a man to be saved through His Holy Spirit. Amen. And some of y'all this morning are feeling the Holy Spirit conviction right now. It's called conviction. It's called conviction. God calls a man to be saved sometimes through testimonies. It's the testimony of the person that who's been trying to get you to come to church, trying to get you saved. We're talking about testimonies, one that's walking with God. I'm going to say it again. testimonies of one that's been walking with God, that has the spiritual walk, that has the marks of Jesus upon their life. When people see them, they say, when they see them uptown, they say, hey, that's a Christian walking there. Amen. And God calls a man to be saved through circumstances. He may have to drop a 20-pound hickory nut on your top of your head, amen, to get your attention for salvation. And worst of all, he may have your mother-in-law move in with you, amen. But the scripture says, man die in their sins. That's John 8:24. Now, folks, man die in their sins in many ways, and one of them is, listen, grieving away the Holy Spirit of God. I'm saying again, we die many ways, but one of those, we grieve the Spirit of God away. We vex the Spirit of God away. We quench the Spirit of God. We blaspheme the Spirit of God. God's Word teaches that the Holy Spirit can be so grieved and hurt that, listen, y'all stay with me. This is the theme of the message. If you don't get these next 5 minutes, you're going to miss the theme. God's Word teaches that the Holy Spirit can be so grieved and hurt that He no longer pleads and convicts you. Genesis 6:3 hears this out. My Spirit shall not always convict with man. God says there can come a time when His Holy Spirit will no more tolerate your lifestyle, your unbelief, procrastination, and defiance. No more playing church. God sets a deadline. One can only go so far and no further. We know great emphasis is always placed upon the Holy Spirit of God. You'll find that in John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus says, He sends the Comforter. That's the Holy Spirit for us. Amen. To us and for us to reprove the world of sin. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus sent the blessed Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. That's what I'm trying to say. But when the rebellious person continues to mock God and grieve His Holy Spirit, you have crossed God's deadline. He ceased to strive with Pharaoh, did He not? I'm going to give you some example. Y'all teenagers, y'all okay over there? Y'all smile, amen. Everybody happy you're saved? Amen. Pharaoh. Oh man, listen. He sees the strife with Pharaoh as he pleaded with him, saying, how long will thou refuse to humble thyself before me? We read 10 times in the book of Exodus of a solemn fact that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And finally, God's preacher, Moses, the independent fundamental Baptist preacher, amen. I will see thy face again no more. Think about it. God has had enough. Listen, he was finished with Pharaoh. And what was the end of his life? He became instant fish food in the ocean. Amen. The Bible speaks of others whom God spoke to no more, allowing them to die in their sins. Of course, this Pharaoh, wicked Herod, Felix, Agrippa, and many others are in this divine record of this awful truth. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Man should die in their sin. But let me just say this. If you're truly saved, I'm saved. Now I'm died. Listen, I'm dead to my sins. Amen, preacher. Amen and amen. When the Holy Spirit no longer convicts and the Father no longer listens to loved ones when they pray for you, you mark it down, you have seized God's deadline. God's patience does wear out, folks. For 3 times in Romans chapter 1 is this awful expression, God gave them up. God gave them up. They refused to glorify God. God gave them up. They refused to stop homosexuality on each other. And listen, God gave them up. And they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. And God gave them up. Now stay with me. If you continue rejecting God's calling on your life for you to get saved, and listen, mocking the people, mocking the man of God who's been praying for you, you may find yourself crossing God's deadline. Amen. Satan's out to get you. Amen. So he uses his most cunning way, that is through deception. He fought to keep the Savior from coming, of course, into this world. He has established different gospels in which he has, amen. And he has organized and ministers as ministers of righteousness. He has schemed and deceived and blinded the eyes of millions from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now the fact is, we must listen to me, that Satan has a power to blind, amen. I'm talking about the unsaved, amen. Hey, not I'm talking about the Christians too, but we're talking about he has blinded so many people where they can't even see the truth. To keep them in the dark, to hinder them from being saved. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, if the gospel be hid in him that are lost, in whom the God of this world, who's the God of this world, church? The devil, blinding the minds which believe not, lest at least the light of the glorious God from Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. God's word continues to tell us there's a devil. For in 1 Peter 5:8, it tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. Resist the devil, church. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you, amen. Satan's greatest tool he has is deception. He's the master of counterfeiting. That's why we preach on counterfeit Christians, amen. I'm talking about, we're talking about hypocrisy in the house of God, in our own house. We see hypocrisy. I'm talking about crossing God's deadline. I'm talking about using the grace of God as a license of sin. And many Baptists are doing that this day. When you start doing this by the Spirit of God, when a person says something like this, I know it's not right, and I mentioned this a couple months ago. I know the preacher preaches against it. I'd be ashamed if anybody caught me, but I'm saved. I'm going to live like I want to. I'm going to do my own thing. I don't care what my mama says. I don't care what my spouse says. I don't care what the preacher says. I'm going to do my own thing. I know it's wrong to do this. I know it's wrong to do that. But better listen to the preacher. But listen, bless God, not by this blessed book. Yes, amen. Good. If my life ain't lining up with that blessed book, y'all know the statement. There's something wrong. Crossing God's deadline. Depart from me, he says. Depart from me. I never knew you. When they weren't Christianity without Christ, salvation without repentance, separation without self-denial. They want the same old crowd and the same old habit. There's people that's not here this morning because they're hanging around the wrong crowd. They want to do exactly what they please and still be called good Christians. Folks, there's no Christianity without Christ. Plain and simple. There's no salvation without repentance. There's no separation without self-denial and sacrifice. He says that Jesus' own words, but listen, falls on the ears of this religious crowd. Depart from me. I never knew you. These words ought to fill on, listen, fall on everybody's ears this morning. Amen. Even if you have small ears. Amen, Brother Roberto. Amen. To examine ourselves. Be sure, Brother Eddie taught me that we are saved by the grace of God. Amen. That's a little joke. We go back about 8 years with that, y'all. That's part of my family. Amen. You can say, listen, you can know if you're saved or not because every word in the Scripture helps us to determine that fact. And that is so true. Again, these are the saddest words I think found in the Word of God. I depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. Now this crowd had all the intentions of going to heaven. They were good folks. Listen, they were good folks, sincere folks. But they had never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Yes, you see, now God demands a change. Now here it comes. God demands a change. And I'm talking about when you're saved, God demands a change. There ought to be a change in your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that. Regeneration and conversion and sanctification describes that change. When one is saved, he's regenerated, given a new heart. He's born again. He's given that new spirit, amen, and a new love for God, amen. 1 John 4:19-20. Also, we can become partakers of his divine nature. That's 2 Peter 1:3-4. We are raised to walk in the newness of life. Romans 6:4, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, listen, we shall not serve sin. You know, if we It would be a terrible thing to go through this life, as I mentioned, and thinking we're saved, and we stand there, and God says, "Who are you? I don't know you." And if you read that verse, you'll see the M-A-N-Y. Many. Many. The Holy Spirit says, come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Your average answer, no, not now. The Holy Spirit says, come again. No, it's not now. And again He comes to convict you, and again He comes, and again He comes. He sends preachers your way. He sends loved ones your way. He even used probably a circumstance of death of the loved one trying to get your attention, and we still say no. You either come to Jesus Christ the Bible way, or you're dying and go to the devil's hell. That's the only chance you get, only choice you got, amen. Now remember that whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want y'all to understand that whosoever. Jesus Christ is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Now I believe in whosoever, but I don't believe in what, as one preacher states, whensoever. Whensoever. And that's so true. Turn with me now to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Y'all still with me? Amen. Amen. I love John chapter 5 also. Verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is Jerusalem by the, they're at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, blind, withered, halt, waiting for the moving of the waters. Y'all see that? They had one thing in common. They were waiting for the moving of the water. Now, what was so important about the water being stirred? Verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after troubling the water, stepped in, listen to this, whoopee, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now get this, there was a pool of water and an angel came to stir that water. Y'all believe that? Say amen. 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 That's what your Bible says. And we must believe, and I believe that the first one that made their way into the water was healed for whosoever disease I have. And let me say, nobody got help until there was some troubling of the water going on. Now you could be baptized. Listen, you could baptize all the folks you want to in that water, all in that water, all right? But nobody got delivered unless God troubled the water. Y'all, I got one amen. Now you can line up all those folks. It says multitudes, did it not? And you can baptize all of them. Listen. But if God's not in, it ain't going to make no difference. I can baptize you as going down as a dry sinner and lift you up as a wet sinner. And the Bible says there in verse 4 that there was a certain season that the angel troubled that water. And let me tell you something, folks. You just don't jump into the salvation thing when you want to. Amen. You either get it when God deals with you, or you die in your sin and burn in the devil's hell. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. He came down here, not that He needed us. We needed Him. He was God before you was ever born. He'll still be God even after you and I didn't go. I don't know about you, but many of us have been saying around here, I need Jesus. Amen. There's no doubt in my mind that there's someone sending out there this morning, and I believe that God is going to trouble the water of their heart. Amen. Oh, you may not get saved, but I thank God He's going to deal with you one more time on this side of hell. And if you don't get saved, it's not God's fault. It'll be your fault on the judgment day. We're all going to stand, are we not? I want you to notice verse 2 again. The Bible says in Jerusalem, there was a pool of water, and they called it Bethesda, having five porches. Now, I preach a whole message on this before, all the way through all the verses 1 through 10. But that's not what I'm looking at. Y'all know a man was laying there for 38 years. Okay, right now I want us to touch on the first four verses. Bethesda means the house of kindness, but also, let me say, / mercy. Mercy in the house of God. Now, church, here's people who hasn't been made whole yet. They have not even been troubled yet. They have not even met the Lord, but yet they're in the house of kindness, and all you saw was people that was hurting. Sound familiar, doesn't it, church? Some were blind, some was weathered, listen, some was crippled, and they was laying out on that porch waiting for the troubling of the water. You say, preacher, why didn't they just jump in when they wanted to? It wouldn't have changed their situation at all. Amen. And I tell you, I'm about sick and tired of these preachers out there, that crowd that say, hey, you just jump on in if you want to. And I say to you, that's heresy. That's heresy. You jump in when the water's getting in trouble, or you leave just like you came. How many false Christians we know that's out there that has done that? This have my way crowd that goes in out of relationship with Christ, that lives in sin, shacked up when with each other, living like the world. This crowd, listen, their sin doesn't bother them anymore. And they go to church one Sunday and see the Baptist Pope, and they quote, which he quotes a little prayer with him, talks with them, and after they walk away, they're not shaking over their sins. Brother, when you truly saved, and that's one of my golden nuggets I've been using around here for 10 years. If you truly saved, listen, you're going to know you're saved. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God is going to let you know you're saved. He'll convict you of that sin. Amen. If the Holy Ghost doesn't deal with you about your sin based on the Holy Word of God, you're not saved. Someone the other day asked, do you believe all that shouting stuff is of God? Well, let me ask you, do you believe all that sleeping at your church is of God? Uh-oh. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you all something. I'm going to bust sin wide open if you like it or not. You came here to hear truth. Amen. I'm going to give you the truth. Repent. Repent.
Right.
Or you'll be left. Amen. God didn't call me to make you feel comfortable in your sin. God called me to convict you, to help convict you of your sin. You have the Holy Spirit roaming about. You have the Word of God in your lap. And you got a man of God that's saying, repent, repent, repent. Amen. The Bible said that there were five porches stretched out over that pond. You know that large body of water in the Bible is the top of humanity? I didn't know that until a preacher taught me that. Amen. Remember when the disciples dropped their nets and pulled up the load of fishes? That's a type of evangelism. Reaching people out of humanity and bringing them into a sweet boat of deliverance. Here they are, church. The only thing that's keeping them from drowning in the pool of humanity are those five porches that stretch out between them and the water. And y'all know what the five porches represents. Amen. The number five, grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. And as it was with the five loaves of John chapter 6, where Jesus Christ fed the hungry multitudes from a little boy's lunch, Christ said, set the people down where there's much grass there. All grass there, amen. Then you'll find in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I should not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Whoopee! Are we not sheep? Amen. Remember what the fifth clause in the Lord's Prayer is. Give us this day our daily bread. Praise God, Jesus is the bread of life. Hey, here's people who have never met the Lord. They don't know the Lord. They still got a disease. And the only thing that's keeping them from going under is the goodness of the grace of Almighty God. And the Bible says, listen, they were in the house of kindness, in the mercy house. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, folks. God was watching out for them long before they was ever looking for God. Listen, while they was out in the humanity, while they was out in sin, listen, there was a God up in heaven that put grace between them and that protected them from destruction. Actually, there's a shelter. I love that song. There's a shelter in a time of storm. I've been there. I don't know about y'all, but I've been there. Amen. In other words, if you would listen, if it wasn't for Jesus, you and I would be destined for a devil's hell. Amen. Now picture this, verse 2. Now they're at Jerusalem by the sheep market. Sheep market. There's a pool. Look at it. Which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having the five porches. Now I believe the reference here is to the sheep gate of Nehemiah chapter 3 verse 1. What is sheep gate? That is a gate through which sacrificial animals were brought to the temple. Praise God. Listen, this gate, think about it. This gate, sheep gate points us to Christ. Listen, tells us of His cross. And Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. And if you want to get saved, if you want any, listen, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. Amen. Now get this, in a lot of what we just said, we are told the pool, which was called Bethesda, was by the sheep gate. Remember, Bethesda means having a, listen, it was a church of kindness, mercy. Now think about the situation, multitudes, and all of a sudden, not only there's proof there's a God in heaven where there's angels coming around, but bless God, there's a sheep gate it's a foreshadow of the days of Calvary. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to go to heaven. Amen. Ah, my. Now get this, oh please. It's only in Christ that the poor sinner can find mercy, and it's only through His sacrifice on the cross that mercy can be obtained. Verse 3, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folks. That was laying. That was impotent. Their strength was gone. That was weak. Perhaps their diseases struck the strength away. Now, folks, you and I we're in this story. There's a deadly disease out there called sin. It's like cancer. It grows and grows until there's only spiritual darkness in one's life. Are we not supposed to be walking in the Spirit that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh? Why? Because God doesn't want sin to rule our lives. You see, sin is declaration of independence away from the Almighty God. When sin is saying, we don't need you, God. Sin separates us. It rules in every human heart. And if it had its way, it would damn every human soul. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. For out of the heart, out of the heart, out of the heart, proceeds evil thoughts. How many times I heard people, I don't have to go to church. I believe is all what's in the man's heart. Hey, you better read the Bible. You better read the Word of God. God says, my heart is wicked, continually wicked. My. And these people just lay there, no request, no plea. They just watch Jesus. They just look at the verse later. They just watch Jesus pass by. They watch him. They watched him pass by. They didn't even recognize Jesus. Now listen, if the Lord Jesus Christ came through those doors today, let me just say it this way. If the Lord were here today, the world will crucify Him because our society and our churches don't have no use for Him. Like some of y'all. There's no doubt in my mind half of Christianity will be there shouting, crucify Him! Give us Barabbas! We want the world! Give us Barabbas! He's trying to make himself a king. Preach, I would never do that, oh yeah? When was the last time you came to church without fighting with your spouse? When was the last time you came to church and brought a visitor? When was the last time you tithed without complaining? When was the last time you kept a promise to God? When was the last time you prayed out in public? When was the last time you handed out tracts? When was the last time somebody asked you, hey, we want you to quit talking about Jesus? When was the last time you helped your church grow? What kind of crowd are you hanging around with? When was the last time you practiced biblical separation without complaining? When was the last time you read your Bible? You see, the Word of God exposes sin. That's why some of us won't read it, because the Word of God convicts and convicts and convicts. When I mention rebellion in the house of God, I know what I'm talking about. That's why some of y'all won't allow God's Spirit to take up residence in your life, because He convicts you. You might have to change. You might have to start reading the Bible. You might have to start associating with Christianity. That's why many of y'all don't like straight preaching, because it convicts. They didn't even recognize Jesus when He passed by. Why? Because they are darkened in their own understanding, excluding the life of God. Because the hardness of their heart, they were looking for the wrong things. Oh, how they was looking at the wrong things. I did a message on wrong things for about an hour a couple years ago. God Himself was in their midst. I'm going to tell you something. I'm a firm believer. If the Lord came this morning and He walked in, I'm telling you, there's some in this room wouldn't recognize Jesus. The great physician was walking in their midst. They had mercy right in front of them. And listen, they had grace, just a faith away. And they had a shelter in a time of storms. Not one of them recognized Jesus but for one. The signs were all around them. There they were by the pool of Bethesda, mercy, meaning the kindness of God, the house of kindness, mercy, have a five porches, having grace. There's enough grace in here to turn every one of us to stand up and to shout praise God.
Amen.
Preacher, why you got to shout so much? Because I love God. Well, I don't like it. Well, most liberals don't. Amen. Shelter in the time of storms. They had mercy and grace and shelter in front of them for years, but because of the hardness of their heart, they was looking at the wrong things. That's why you say, I can't see nothing wrong with drinking. That's what happens when you start running around the Methodist, Presbyterians, in that Hollywood bunch. Yeah. Benny Hinn, Joe Osteen crowd, Beth Moore. Hello.
Amen.
God calls preachers to expose sin.
Amen.
Expose. We used to do that in all the denominations years ago. What's happening, church?
Amen.
We got to get the power of God back on the pulpits.
Amen.
Back in our lives.
Amen.
I can't see nothing wrong with worldly music and dancing. I can't see nothing wrong with having premarital sex. I see nothing wrong wearing provocative clothing. They're blind, they're lame and crippled because the natural man receiveth not the spirit of the things of God, because they're foolishness unto them. And that's why some of y'all will leave here this morning and you're looking at each other and say, I don't agree with that pastor. Because it's foolishness. You're still a natural person, and you know it, and God knows it. He's here this morning. He's troubling some waters. Let me tell you why you and I didn't go to hell today. Because He knew we'd be here. Amen? He's given you one more opportunity of mercy. The question is this morning, what you going to do with Jesus? Jesus. What are we going to do with Jesus? Some of us claiming to have Jesus, but I don't think He's too thrilled about it. The Bible says there in verse 3, there lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Some are blind, crippled, and some are withered.
They all had problems, but they all had a need. Though their problems were different, their need were the same. They need the troubling of the water to make them whole again. I tell you, I can't make it without Jesus Christ. I can't make it. I go through this week, I need a filling of the Spirit of God. My vessel gets cracks in it, and I get weak, and I get trembling on my knees, and I got to fall down and get filled with God again.
Amen.
Their problems were different, but their need were the same. Let me tell you about sinners. Sinners may differ in some things, but we all got one thing in common. If we're lost, we're going to the devil's hell. And if you don't get saved, you're dead, and listen, you're going to die in your sins. And you're going to burn in a lake of fire. I don't care what Billy Graham says, there are flames in hell. Read your Bible. That's what happens when you get around politicians and a lot of money. And don't tell me I didn't hear that. I got a page in my office where he says that back in 1992. Amen. You had your chances, your opportunities, but you wouldn't accept Christ. You played church too much. And as good, listen, as God folds back the time of your life, he says, do you remember? Not only in hell you're going to be separated from your loved ones, but you never lose your memory, because Luke 16 tells us that. Abraham says, son, remember thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things. Do you remember that? Listen, the lies that you told, the cheating you did, the things you have stolen. Do you remember the crowd you've been hanging around with that kept you in the world and away from church half the time? Do you remember your last sermon you heard? Do you remember your last words you said to your family? Was it, I love you? Or was it words of ungratefulness? I can hear those saying, Lord, I don't want to remember. Please, God, give me another chance. Give me another chance, God. Please. And the Lord's going to say, son or daughter, do you remember in your lifetime you received the good things? You had it made. And you had a daddy that loved you. You had a mama that loved you. There was churchgoers. And what happened, son? What happened, daughter? For all eternity, you will always remember all the opportunities you had to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. But we have better things to do. We have a lot better things to do. Everybody's open on Sundays to the most causes. Ain't it amazing, man? We just can't wait till Christmas Day to get. Hey, it's not because we're honoring the birth of Christ. We can't wait to get that day off for the extra paycheck. Can't wait to get Christmas Day off. But we can't wait to work on a Sunday. I don't get it. You heard the best preaching in your life from many preachers, evangelists and some preachers come across this pulpit. This preacher have built five porches across this auditorium many a times, and God's Spirit comes to troubles the waters and you still say no. God is merciful and long-suffering that any should perish. But when somebody says no, no, you don't have to verbally say no, but your lifestyle proves it. And they trample under the feet of the blood of Christ, and God will say, hold it. That's it. I had enough. I'm fed up. You have crossed my deadline. And as you march towards eternity without God, there's a line that's drawn. Your heart will be right. Listen, your heart will get right, or God will withdraw His Spirit from you, and you will not be saved. Why? You have crossed God's deadline. For the last time, you have slept in this way. You have slept in this way. You have cussed people. You have said, I don't want God. I don't want to go to that church. I want to live my own life.
You're literally shaking the face of God, your fist in the face of Almighty God, and you blaspheming the God that way, it's not going to be forgiven. Amen. Reads the Gospels. But you refuse to get saved. Again, he throws out the lifeline. You still refuse. The devil says, not now. You have plenty of time. Hey, not now. Let me see. I know what that preacher. I bet he was in that office of Friday night, Saturday night, up to midnight each night. And I know what he's going to preach. I know it. Now let me roam about. Oh, man, I got to roam about the houses of Cornerstone members. And so he sends out his demons in the spirit world. And he goes to your houses. And he starts looking at you, and oh man, they're not sick, they're not getting it. Hey, but I gotta do something. I know this family right here, they're that close to getting right with God. What I gotta do? I gotta do something and prove I'm too tired to go to church. Well, honey, I don't know if I'm going to church or not. Little Junior's got snot coming out of his nose. Well, let's all just sit here and get all the handkerchief and throw it in the movie, baby. Chicken on the burger thing back here, and let's just enjoy the day. And the devil goes, yeah, I got another one. It never fails. It always happens. Always happens. Now y'all stop. Some of y'all open your eyes, or I'm gonna go another 30 minutes. Now I know some of y'all can't take another 30 minutes. Amen. Merciful God. And God says, I have called and you refused the last time. You have hurt me so many times. You have hurt me so many times. Now please listen. It is only in Christ that the poor sinner, and I'm one of them, can find mercy. It is only through his sacrifice on the cross that mercy can be obtained. For by grace are you saved through your faith. Please don't be found waiting as that group was waiting there by that pool and all the time ignorant of the fact that he was there in their midst. I'm saying God has dealt with some of y'all so many times about the salvation thing. And I'm afraid the devil convinced you're okay. Your kinfolks are convincing you that you're okay. That's why we have some empty seats in here this morning. Amen. I'd be real careful what I do with this message this morning. Because the very fuel that's in the funeral car could be holding your coffin tomorrow. We don't know when we're going to check out of here. I'll tell you what. Paul said it's better for him to go ahead and die because it's gaining heaven. You can't scare me with death. You cannot do that. Man, I'll be excited. You know, y'all mark that down, write it down. When I check out of here, I'm going to be grinning because I'm going to the Golden Arches. Amen. And getting that big cheeseburger. Oh, yeah. While y'all sitting imitating soybean stuff down here, I'm going to have the real beef. Amen. I could see my guardian angel scratching his head right now. So now what I want to tell Jesus about this deal. My guardian angel is going to look like Moses, all the gray hairs I put on him. Amen. Don't y'all be like that. 4 months Jesus has been whispering your name. 4 months Jesus has been whispering your name. I've been there. Amen. Y'all know he's here. You know he's in your midst. Do you need a miracle? Listen, church, sooner or later, listen, it will happen to you. Sooner or later, you will face a crisis that you cannot manage with your resources alone, and you will need a miracle from God to survive. And please understand, the only begotten Son became the miracle worker, the Son of the living God. He healed the lame, the deaf, and the blind. He healed blood diseases and leprosy. "Just let me get through the crowd to touch the hem of His garment," she says. Because she had a blood disease, an issue of blood. And Jesus turns in the crowd and says, "Who touched me?" I want to tell you something. It's awesome when He touches you, brother. You start doing wonderful things for God. You can say, "I've been by the pool of Bethesda. I've been there. He troubled the water. He convicted my soul. Now it's time for me to do something good for God."
Amen.
Whoopee! Man, I'm excited. Can't y'all tell? You can't shut me up.
Amen.
My wife says amen. And Heather back there, my daughter, going, "Oh me. Another night." What He did on the shores of the Sea of Galilee in Israel, He could do for all of us this morning at this very moment. He wants to do it for you right now. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. We're going to go home. Has the Spirit of God been troubling your heart this morning? You see, you'll be very wise in getting in. Very wise. It's God convicting your heart as we stand. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Has God been troubling the waters this morning? Has God been troubling your water this morning? Has He stirred your heart to some perhaps to get saved? And others, He stirred your heart to become more like Jesus. Is there one here this morning and with nobody looking around said, "Preacher, pray for me. He stirred my heart. The troubling water. I'm a jumping in, preacher. I need to get saved." Is there one who liked that this morning? Said, "Preacher, I need to get saved." God bless you, ma'am. Is there any other? God bless you, ma'am. Any others? Hey, lift your hand right up and right back down.